If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. We're going to empower you because that's what I like to do. Magical Engineer Frank and I, great show. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. And for the first part of the show, we are going to be talking about drugs that can give you cancer and some other things. But, you know, hey, food for thought out there. And before we get into that and our quack report, we want to give the Lord God every honor and glory there is. And if we look in Matthew 6, it says, "Seek ye the first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." Yeah, put up your treasures in heaven. All this down on the planet Earth is going to burn one day. That's what we should be seeking, his face and having a relationship with him, because one day we're all going to regret we didn't do that. So mind the time, it grows short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, the FDA some research is revealing some cancer-causing chemicals found in some very popular medications. We're going to kind of explore that for the first part of the show as well. But this is U.S. health officials say that you can get some cancer-causing chemicals in some very popular generic drugs, like to treat heartburn and gastroesophageal reflux, or GERD. So this was kind of a disturbing finding the U.S. Food and Drug Administration admitted to. They conducted some trials and some samples of these drugs that fall into the category of rantanide type of drugs, and that includes your brand name stuff like Xanax. Apparently, a contaminant was found, classified as a probable human carcinogen. Nonetheless, of course, small amounts. You know, they say, "Nah, it probably won't be a problem. It's in your cosmetics. It's in beer. It's in cured meats and fish, but and some cheeses." But they say the Environmental Protection Agency says that, you know, technical fact sheet, that, you know, this chemical called rantanide, they use it in rocket fuel. EPA uses it. There's a toxic pollutant, they call it. Now, some of the adverse health effects due to exposure to this chemical can include liver damage, jaundice, nausea, abdominal cramps, and retinal eye damage, as well as renal damage. So French drug maker Sanofi has announced they're recalling Xantax, just to be on the safe side. All right, last but not least in the quack report, do you take Tylenol? Well, there's some side effects of acetaminophen. It makes people take more risks, according to a study. This was a study on Tylenol-type products, or acetaminophen. They say it makes an individual take greater risks than they otherwise would. This was out of the Ohio State University. They did a series of tests on experiments using this popular pain reliever and how it affects our decision-making, which I thought was interesting. So acetaminophen, they say, seems to make people feel less negative emotionally when it would consider something more risky, like skydiving or bungee jumping. People feel less scared about those things. This was a study with 25% of the population, they say, using acetaminophen-type products, which, you know, could it put people at greater risk each and every day, just driving to work or driving home from work, you know, picking the kids up from school. You just don't know about these things, do you? Well, always research and try to find the truth. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, so we're going to talk about some drugs and cancer, because there are plenty of therapies, you know, that modern scientific medicine uses to treat people with that may increase the risk of cancer. So we've, you know, talked about this before, and lately it has some, you know, there's some new revelations in the halls of science when a study proves that fact. You know, science itself is agreeing to it. So if you play with fire, you know you're going to get burned one day. If you play with electricity, you're going to get zapped. Yes, you are. And if you play with nuclear radiation, you know you're going to get radiation sickness. So fire, electricity, and radiation can be controlled, but it does not remove the risk, does it? Not all the risk. Well, let's look at this new study. MedLink featured this study, July 2020, on prescription medications that patients were unaware of could cause cancer. So what patients hear from their doctors is that the dose is so low it can't cause a serious problem. But a cumulative effect of toxic medicine does cause a problem over time. So the body is constantly exposed to the drug and impacts the organs designed to remove toxins. And once those organs start to weaken and break down, the toxicity increases really quickly. Now, the study referred to this as incalculable level of exposure. They just don't know what kind of toxic overload you're going to get from these drugs. So it could take years to get cancer from your drugs, but it does happen.
And in some instances, it may happen in less than a year. So the research did get published in the journal, the July 2020 Journal of Cancer Causes and Control. Here is a quote from one of the, well, this is out of Kaiser Permanente Medical Care Program in California that helped with the research on this study. They said, little is known about the long-term effects due to insufficient data on post-marketing of drugs. This lack of data is the norm, and therefore it is unclear what all the drugs that produce a cancer risk are. End of quote. So the Kaiser study was not small, actually. It followed over 6.6 million patients between August 1994 and December 2006. They largely relied on medical records for the research, and the researchers screened 230 commonly used medications, and they noticed a higher risk of cancer with three or more prescriptions compared to only taking one prescription medicine. So we're going to look at just a few of the drugs within the study. And just remember, I've often said that one prescription drug will cause 100 metabolic changes for your system. And if you take two drugs, it's 100 times 100 metabolic changes. And after that first drug, science really doesn't know what those changes are going to be. Well, let's take a look at the drugs that they, just a few of the drugs that they listed in the report. So the data quickly did focus on drugs that were called, for instance, one of them was called a fluoxetine or paroxetine. And these are essentially serotonin reuptake inhibitor or SSRI drugs. They're prescribed for depression and anxiety or serotonin deficiency disorders. So these drugs are created to influence the brain nerve cells and to regulate your emotions. And also it influences how the brain cells communicate your neurotransmitters because serotonin is a neurotransmitter. So you may think of the SSRIs as a modern nerve pill. If you recall, female patients in the 60s referred to these kinds of medicines as nerve pills. So here is what the research team has discovered. The antidepressants that we're mentioning here, your SSRIs, they say they're linked to these types of cancers, testicular cancer and breast cancer, after just 10 months or more of use. The American Cancer Society estimates nearly 10,000 new testicular cancer cases annually, and these cases are on the rise. Also, in the study, they were looking at the hydrochlorothiazide meds. Now, these are usually prescribed for high blood pressure, and they're the ones with the diuretic action included. They say they're linked to lip cancer after just 2.5 years of use. And if a person smokes, it's more likely they're also going to develop a lung cancer. They also found a link to kidney cancer, often encouraged by the high blood pressure issue. So the American Cancer Society estimates over 73,000 cases of kidney cancer annually, with the average age being 64 and the youngest being 45 years of age. Also included in the drug therapy study was the let's see if I can pronounce this drug. I love these names they give them. Hyoscamamine. It's an anti-tremor and also this an anti-gut. Well, it's a gut antispasmodic, so if you get gut spasms. They also prescribed this drug for peptic ulcers, irritable bowel syndrome, cystitis, pancreatitis, and even colic for children. It's oddly enough, the chemical, the hyoscyamine, I guess that's how you pronounce it, hyoscyamine, it's found in the belladonna plant. In belladonna, remember that plant? Romeo and Juliet. They say now, according to the study, linked to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma after just 4 months of use. The American Cancer Society estimates over 70,000 cases annually of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Also on the list was the nifedipine, if I can get it out. It's used to treat high blood pressure and heart pain like angina, And it is a calcium channel blocker drug. Okay. It's linked to lip cancer after 3.3 years of use. And after 4 years of use, larynx, or your voice box cancer. And lung cancer risk is also increased as well. So laryngeal cancer, you know. The American Cancer Society actually estimates over 12,000 new laryngeal cancer cases each year. So throat cancer, I guess. Also on the list was a drug called nortriptyline. It's an antidepressant and also another nerve pain drug. I guess they use it for diabetics with nerve pain. It's linked, they say, to esophageal cancer after just 9 months of use and liver cancer after 14 months of use. According to the report, empirical history on these tricyclic type drugs are associated with carcinogenic action. So, interesting. It really is interesting. The American Cancer Society is estimating esophageal cancer cases to be over 18,000 and liver cases over 40,000 a year. So, well, no wonder people are taking all this stuff, and it's encouraging it. Next on the list is a drug called oxyzepam. It's used as a sedative, or it's used for anxiety, depression, even alcohol withdrawal. So they probably use it in rehabs. It's linked to lung cancer after 9 months of use. And the American Cancer Society estimates over 220,000 cases of lung cancer each year. And then last on this abridged list that they had was the drug Sulindic. It's a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. It's used for things like arthritis, ankylosing spondylosis or spondylitis. If you don't know what that is, it's a bone disorder where you start bone pain in your ankles and it works all the way up your spine and it kind of fuses your bones together. It's very painful. It also is used for things like bursitis. And apparently the study says it's linked to gallbladder cancer and leukemia after 6 months of use. American Cancer Society estimates 100,000 leukemia cases a year and 435,000 gallbladder cases every year. And interesting statistics there. So you got millions on the path to cancer, basically, because how many Americans are really taking your high blood pressure drugs, your arthritic drugs, your antidepressants, either by themselves as a drug or in drug combinations for all those conditions? So millions are on these drugs and have no clue that a, you know, complication of cancer, well, it's probably never mentioned to them. They never mentioned that cancer is tied to these drug therapies. So, you know, it is really kind of unbelievable that this level of drug therapy is causing one of the most dreaded diagnoses any person wants to hear, that they have cancer. There are many alternative therapies using natural means to help with, you know, conditions that these drugs are being prescribed for. So why even risk cancer along with all the side effects that the drugs for arthritis and high blood pressure and depression give you when there are lots of natural options that are less toxic and less life-threatening? Really? Now, your doctor, a lot of people can't really rationalize. They really don't want to think that, you know, that a drug treatment like something for arthritis that could be giving them cancer down the road or any other disease, really. So it's really this simple. You know, people have been kind of brainwashed that, you know, side effect, it's nothing. No, it is something. It's a disease. That's what a side effect is. So it's really this simple. Doctors are taught to diagnose and prescribe. That's their deal. They are paid to write prescriptions and to sell pharmaceutical drugs. That's basically what they're doing. And they are not taught how to correct disease with foods, spices, herbs, and lifestyle. And now, most recently with the COVID thing, doctors that, you know, want to speak the truth about observational therapies and treatment of their own patients using a safe drug like hydroxychloroquine and zinc, Look what happened to them. They got blackballed. They got fired. Right? So this is why, you know, doctors hesitate. They just, you know, pretty much keep their mouth shut, keep their pen and their prescription pad in their pocket. And if you consider this brief list of drugs we just went over, and you see that the more drugs you take, the greater your risk is going to be of another disease and increasing your mortality. So that means you're going to be seeing your doctor more, you're going to see him more often, and he's going to prescribe you for more drugs to cover those side effects you're complaining about. So this all translates to huge profits for modern medicine. Keeps patients coming. Money answers all things. That's what the Bible says. Well, there you go. Right? More disease, more money. So I encourage people to seek their options, really. You won't find your options if you don't look for them. So research your health problem, research any therapies recommended to you. You're worth the time to do that. Seriously, you should do that. And you'll find some natural solutions to these everyday problems we have. You know, a lot of people are arthritic. And you might look in your family tree and see, you know, arthritis and gout conditions, you know. And, you know, look at the way you eat, you know. My grandmother, I can still remember her sitting at the table. And she had beautiful fingers. Beautiful. Straight. Gorgeous. She liked to wear her emerald ring, you know. And her father was from Portugal, and she was raised in Brooklyn, New York. She had a New York accent, bless her heart. And she had this fear of getting arthritis because I guess she saw her friends, neighbors, as they aged, their fingers got all, you know, not straight. You know, they started looking arthritic and joint pain and tenderness, and they can't do anything. And she was bound and determined not to have arthritis. And so she's one of those people that, and my mom was too, so am I, that, you know, that rainbow on your plate thing, you know, when you look at your plate, it should look like a rainbow. That means you're getting a lot of fresh enzymatic amino acid type of foods into the system. If you got, you know, more than just meat and potatoes, you know, you've got some greens, you got some fruits, and you're getting more nutrition into the system. So she was one of these people that, you know, looked at her health food-wise. She looked at foods. And she would often make this concoction. Oh, my Lord. I could not drink as a kid. I can't even look at it. It was this brown kind of milkshake consistency looking thing. And I go, Grandma, what's in that? And she goes, oh. She says, I have a raw egg, and I have my lecithin, and my wheat germ. And, you know, the list went on, and I was like, you know, 8 years old, and I'm like, ew. I can still remember. And I just didn't want to taste it, but I did want to smell it. And it smelled like a medicine cabinet. It really did. It smelled. And she would drink that faithfully every day. And she had a lot of spunk, and I'll never forget her. And straight fingers, beautiful fingernails. She was often complimented, you know, on her health and her beauty, and she had lots of it. Smile light up a room, you know, and a personality too. So she was proactive is the point. You got to be proactive, you know. You think your doctor's going to worry about your health? They don't worry about your health. Believe me, they don't. They don't lay awake at night worrying about your health. They just don't do that. You can't pay them enough to worry. You have to seek these things out. Now, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, if you want to request their free product catalog, they have this wonderful catalog. They have their organ cleanses to get the toxins out, the pharmaceutical residues out that weaken your body. Also, they have a lot of immune support herbs, which is really good because we're coming up to the fall and you got flu season coming. And also, they have metabolic strengthening formulas. So if you're trying to get off prescription protocols onto something else, you want a strengthener to bridge that gap. So they offer the certified organic products, and they're all professional strength. This is what, you know, professional wellness people use. So you can buy direct. And they've had some phone disruption. I'll mention this again. They're still hoping this week their phone's going to be ringing to their new office. Right now it is going to their call center. So the number to call if you want to place an order by phone or request a catalog, you go to 828-469-5972. That's their new local number, 828-469-5972. Once again, 828-469-5972. Of course, the toll-free number that we've often mentioned, the 866-229-3663. They're still struggling with that, the phone company, to get that over to their new offices. Something about porting and whatever it is they do at the phone company. So this has kind of been a struggle for the phone company and a little bit of an anxious time for the folks at Apothecary Herbs because they've missed talking with you all. It's been awfully quiet over there. People do go to their website. The website is available too. You can order there all the time, every day, 24/7. It's thepowerherbs.com. 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 And you can order all day long there. So if you want to do that, that's wonderful. So, but do get their free product catalog and get empowered, because that's what it's about. We want you to be empowered out there and seek out your options and alternatives and safer and healthier ones, in my opinion. And, who wants to be a slave to the drug therapy? Yeah. So thepowerherbs.com, give them a call. Or, sign up for the free online newsletters. If you're on the internet and you have an email account, you can sign up for their HealthQuest and American Survival newsletters. They go out each and every week, and they're absolutely free. Great natural therapies and information in there. You do not want to be without. So you go to thepowerherbs.com and click on books and newsletters and sign up today. Or give them a call, 828-469-5972, 469-5972, thepowerherbs.com. And when we come back to break, we're going to kind of continue with our cancer theme a little bit here. And we got lots of alternative ideas for you. We'll be right back with more.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night, blinded by the light.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, Herb Medicine Options, coming up next.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
We're talking about cancer options. Because, you know, your decision to look after your cancer options, that's a personal choice. You know, it's a personal choice. There was a 2011 report on the radiation treatments for cancer. And this was also published in the Life Extension Report. And, you know, we've all heard about some of the effects of cancer radiation treatments. So the report was stating that the radiation data has been kind of manipulated and statistics covered up. This was by Dr. Ralph Moss. He's also the author of the Cancer Industry book. And he said he was instrumental in uncovering a lot of the raw data on the radiation therapy. And Dr. Moss states that his work that in medicine has declared statistics on cancer survivors, even though they died of the cancer within 5 years of their treatment and died of the same cancer they were treated for. And he goes on to report that the radiation treatments leave patients scarred, mutilated, burned, and even if you do, you can get lethal radiation necrosis of the brain. You know, they call that brain fog, or, you know, chemo brain. I think they call it chemo brain. So when the patients die, they are not tabulated as a cancer death, though. See how those numbers get skewed? So this is done intentionally so that, you know, your cancer treatment statistics promote they're promoted as a cancer cure, but really the most they could ever do is a remission of the symptoms, and usually that happens for a little while, a year or so. And typically what they see now is the cancer comes back, but it's worse than the first version. So and then also there's also another study that was showing that if you get radiation therapy, you increase your risk of stroke. The research did illustrate that within 10.9 years of treatments of radiation, the patients endured a stroke, and the risk of the stroke persisted for about 15 years after radiation treatment. So patients are really not listed as dying of cancer or from the radiation, but they're listed as dying from the stroke. And in a lot of cases, the radiation promotes a lot of premature death, and a lot of doctors have spoken on that. Women with, let's say, breast cancer at risk of heart failure when the treatment, when they get treatment of radiation, because the radiation is real close to the heart, it can kill a third of the heart cells. So, and then you get congestive heart failure. So it damages also the lungs as well. And you can get what is called pneumoitis, which produces a persistent cough and shortness of breath. And you can even get a fever that lasts for months. So people need to research all this before they just kind of jump in and get there. Because I know I've worked in medicine, and they kind of leave out some details because they don't want to scare patients off, you know. So everyone has seen what I call dandelion. Dandelions in your yard all summer long. You probably ran over them with the mower. You watch the kids pluck them, especially in the spring, and blow on them and spread the dandelion shoots everywhere. A lot of children like that. They spread the dandelion patch all over the yard. So we're told that, you know, dandelion is one of the hardiest weeds ever and harder to get rid of. Dandelion is from the sunflower family, and it is native to Western Europe and the Mediterranean. So where dandelion originated, kind of hard to say, due to the nature, because of the wind-blowing seeds, which populate every any kind of climate-friendly zone on the planet, basically, the globe. So the prevalence of dandelion may be our creator's way of saying everyone at some point may need this herb, this plant. So we're going to check it out. Dandelion has a very rich history. It's it was first recorded in written form by Arabian physicians. It was used as a medicinal remedy around the 10th century. The Greeks referred to it as a taraxis acus, which translate as a disorder remedy. So how did it get the name dandelion? Well, the French gave this herb its common name, calling it dentilion, which translates teeth of the lion. So when you look at the leaf of the plant, it's got a little sawtooth look to it, like a tooth, you know, like lion's teeth. So it's associated with that sawtooth shape of the leaf. That's why they thought it looked like lion's teeth. So, and down through the centuries, the leaf and root have been used for medicinal properties. So, dandelion has many aliases. Okay, it's known as blowball, cankerwort, fairy clock, Irish daisy, piss in the bed. That's a nice common name for a plant, you know. Priest's crown and swine snout, and white endive. So lots of little names, common names for the dandelion. And a lot of folklore with it as well. Dandelion is mentioned in natural medicine folklore as having uses for things like bedwetting. That's probably why it was called piss in the bed herb. Also, it's used to help the liver and the spleen, any disorders there. It's used for things like heartburn and skin conditions like eczema and rheumatism and gout. So dandelion shows up in many of the folk medicine remedies in China, in India, in Europe, and also lots of the Western world. So not everyone who uses dandelion over the centuries knew why it works so well. So science has discovered that it has many actions to its plant chemical base. The human body will utilize only the chemical property that it has and wants from the plant. And it gets able to isolate it and use it and then void out what it doesn't need. Without side effects, no doubt. So, for instance, dandelion has these flavonoids, which work like a diuretic and a blood purifier. And this is why it works well on kidney bladder issues, because it will kind of reduce the cramping, the muscle spasms, and reduce inflammation. So our ancestors also used dandelion as a digestive aid, and science explains that it is the inulin mucilage of the dandelion that soothes the digestive tract and removes irritating toxins and promotes the regulation of some friendly bacteria. So really, dandelion has been used kind of as a natural probiotic, if you will. And you maybe want to know how it does that, how it helps the liver and the spleen. Well, according to science, they discovered dandelion has these oils and bitter resins which stimulate these organs to purge their toxins. And a similar action happens with the kidney filters. So this herb is also high in vitamin A, your beta carotene, and that is stored in the liver for nutrition. So when you assist the liver to function better, you also assist the gallbladder, because those two organs work in tandem. And dandelion helps with gallstones as well. And I like to layer dandelion with the barberry bark and the milk thistle for the gallbladder and the liver to give it more oomph, if you will, a little bit more effect. Synergistic action. And I think, Frank, didn't you say that your aunt, your grandmother, some female in your family told you about dandelion, that when you picked it and this milky substance came out of the stalk? I think you said they put it on topically for what, warts or moles or something like that? I think it was moles. Wasn't it moles? I think that's what you said. And, but again, yeah, they used it for topically for skin problems like eczema. And, I guess it wouldn't hurt, you know, give that wart a little dandelion or that mole a little dandelion. But here's something that's really interesting that you want to take note of. Windsor Medical University in Canada found that dandelion root kills cancer cells. Biochemist Cimmerian Pandey, he had his doubts regarding what Dr. Carolyn Hamm had reported to him, that the dandelion root tea that was being served helped her cancer leukemia patients get better. So it seems Pandey was the ultimate skeptic when he went about testing this natural substance for its medicinal application. So he tested dandelion root just to prove that he was right and the others were wrong. It was just a coincidence, he thought, that they were just drinking dandelion root tea on Tuesday and their blood work looked better. Big deal. So Pandey tested leukemia blood samples against the dandelion root extract that he got, because extract was stronger than the tea. And it was one of those, you know, career moments, really, when he discovered under the microscope, Dr. Hamm was right. So there was something in the dandelion root that makes leukemia cells commit cell suicide and die. And he also noted that healthy non-cancerous cells were not affected by the dandelion, indicating the dandelion root zeroes in and destroys only the cancer cells. So the other benefit is there's no side effects, which is not the case with, you know, cancer therapies like chemo and radiation. So Dr. Pandey wanted to test dandelion root further, and he tested it against all the cancer cells they had. And in the lab, he used other types of cancer cells in the lab cultures, and he got exactly the same results each time. So dandelion root kills all types of cancer cells, he says. And if you Google Dr. Mirian Pandey, you can, Windsor Medical University, Quebec, Canada, you probably find that report. So Dr. Pandey's research has, you know, kind of a big deal. It did get some big news coverage. This was back in 2012, I believe. And the medical community, you know, they had some giant fundraising going on. It was pouring in because, you know, they want to find out what it is in dandelion so they can make a drug out of it. So they hope with more research it will lead to a synthetic copycat of whatever it is in dandelion so they can make the drug companies lots of money. So if they could pull that off, you know, the drug would have side effects and it won't work as well as your original dandelion root. And the reason is most chemicals that are found in natural sources will have buffer alkaloids and other nutrients and vitamins and enzymes with it. And these buffers are designed, they're kind of required as uptake so the body can use the dandelion properly. So this kind of combo in nature it's nature's way of making sure, you know, the strong chemical alkaloids in the plants are metabolized properly to avoid toxicity and side effects. And this is why drug companies, in order to patent it, they have to change it, and this is why they're toxic. So pharmaceutical companies cannot patent what God made. That's his copyright. See, they can't do that. And so they will isolate that strong alkaloid, make drugs out of it, and if they can make a synthetic copycat, they will. Big profits. Clinical trials are already kind of underway in Canada to help launch a new miracle drug. I don't know how far they got with that. If a patient can, if oncologists can endorse it, you know, dandelion root, blah, blah, blah. You know, I just say, why not just use dandelion root? You know, it's not prescribed. It's not regulated. It's a root. It's one of those things you like to kill with Roundup. Try not to do that. Well, talking about side effects, does dandelion root have any side effects or counter-regulatory indications to really worry about? Well, according to the German E-Commission, is kind of similar to our FDA. They've actually tested dandelion root and has officially approved it as a use for digestive disorders like appetite loss, indigestion, gas, liver bile flow issues. So dandelion root does offer also a diuretic effect and should not be used with prescription diuretics. Dandelion root doses follow the directions on the bottle. Do not use your dandelion root with appetite suppressants, as dandelion will stimulate your appetite and your drugs will suppress it. Do not use your dandelion with prescriptions like over-the-counter laxatives, because dandelion alone has a mild laxative action. Do not use your dandelion with anti-inflammatory drugs, as dandelion offers an anti-inflammatory action. And both the German E-Commission and the FDA do recognize dandelion to be safe and free of adverse or reactive risk. However, I would not mix it with other drugs per se, unless you're under the advice and guidance of a practitioner. This does not mean that you can't have an allergic reaction to any herb. I mean, that's a possibility. You could have a sensitivity and not know it. So I don't like to mix herbs with drugs. There are exceptions, but I tend to avoid it if I can. Skin rash can always happen when you're taking a new type of herb. But if you do have sensitive skin, if you're sensitive to dandelion, the daisy family, remember, then keep that in mind. If you suffer from intestinal inflammation or some sort of blockage or bile duct issue, you want to avoid using dandelion. One thing that we like to do is sometimes add our astragalus root with dandelion to maximize, you know, the synergistic effect, to maximize that effect of the dandelion. So it kind of gives it a boost, if you know what I'm saying. So you can kind of leverage that a little bit. So definitely check that out. Dandelion is kind of the bomb when it comes to a natural solution for the big C. And you want to just do your due diligence when you research everything. And I personally, just my personal choice, I would personally use the herbs like dandelion, astragalus, and, you know, detoxify the body, because a lot of times the toxins in the body give disease like cancer a foothold, right? And cancer is kind of a greedy type of disease. It'll suck up all the nutrition coming its way and try to starve surrounding cells so they're weaker and they can be corrupted and mutated and taken over by the cancer. So, but healthy cells know not to take up the dandelion, but the cancer will suck it up. So you want to be vigilant out there and do your due diligence when you are researching all your treatments. All your treatments, and you know, just don't be afraid to ask questions. A lot of people just don't want to ask their doctor anything. They may have questions when they get home, but they don't ask them while they're there. And And you definitely wanted to ask questions. And I know it's like trying to pull information from the government sometimes when you're talking to your doctor. But ask him poignant questions like, you know, if you were diagnosed with this problem, would you take this medication? And if you wouldn't, why? Or would you give it to your son or daughter or your wife or mother? Right? Ask those type of questions. And just ask about the success rate, the raw data on the success rate on this stuff. A lot of doctors won't know what the raw data is. And it's sad, isn't it? They won't know what the raw data is. And that's why I found it interesting talking to Dr. Anthony Morris back in the 90s. He had access to all the FDA raw data on vaccines. And that's another thing of the cancer component of vaccines. Yeah, you know, it's something to research as well. That's a whole other show, because of the ingredients in a lot of those serums. Just on a cellular level, creepy. All right, we got a few minutes. I thought we'd talk about people who feel really tired. I've come across a few dozen of you recently. And I know, concern for what's going on, stress makes you tired. It really does. And I want to say don't neglect your daily exercise routine, because that really does lift your mood and helps your brain think stronger. Okay, you have better focus and concentration. So definitely don't neglect your daily workout. A lot of times when you get fatigued and tired, you go, I just don't feel like it. Well, I understand. But maybe do low impact something on that day, but just get the blood pumping. So if you tend to have some triggers sometimes too, if you got fatigue that reappears repeatedly, but if you go to your doctor, you complain that you feel tired, that you have maybe muscle pain or memory problems or even headaches, or you're not sleeping well. I mean, that could be just anything. You could have a parasite, for crying out loud, or you could have just recently moved and you're getting resituated in your new environment. But, you know, fill in the gaps, because there could be crossover diagnosis, then you don't want to put on a medication you surely don't need. So if you ask an allopathic medical, your doctor, what the cause of chronic fatigue is, they're going to tell you they don't know. So if your doctor has no clue what the cause is, then you're going to be put on a course of symptom reduction care drugs, probably with no resolution in sight. So your doctor will lose no sleep, and he'll tell you you know, basically take your prescription course of drugs. Office visits, if you typically have a lot of fatigue, it's $50, maybe $200 if you don't have insurance. You're going to be referred to a lot of specialists, adding to all those doctor office fees. Treatments increase over the course of your condition, so you may be going to physical therapy, for instance, and that could be $50 to $350 a visit. You may be sent to a cognitive behavioral therapist, and that's $125 to $250 a session. And then on top of that, your antidepressants, which can put you at higher risk of cancer. We just said that in the first segment. And that's going to cost you $90 a prescription. Now, the University of Maryland Medical Center say cognitive therapy treatment entails about 6 to 20 hours of treatment, could run up a bill of $5,000. And any person with fatigue or chronic fatigue who seeks the help from modern medicine is going to receive drugs for pain, drugs for sleep, drugs for depression, drug referrals, therapy clinic referrals, and because medicine says there's no cure. So you're like an open checkbook. And obviously, if they don't identify the cause, there's no cure. See? So chronic fatigue is, besides just, you know, regular fatigue cropping up from time to time, could be just from stress, overwhelmed stress, either at work and home, or both. And it can be frustrating. I think the worst, you know what gets me the worst, Frank? Being frustrated. You can't get people to hear you. You can't get people to do their due diligence. You can't get people to do what they should. It frustrates you. Right? And no common sense. Well, this was the solution to this. Why didn't you do it? Didn't think of it. I didn't look at it that way. We could have avoided so many problems if you had just had common sense. That frustrates me. But I got valerian root for that. Though I take it. To just woosah out of here and not try to get too uptight. Now, I know we're running out of time. So, chronic fatigue is so fixable by the patient, by the person, by themselves, basically. If they're serious and want to get to the core of it, they can fix it. I used to work for a neurologist, and we used to see chronic fatigue patients. They were very faithful, come in for their pain shots. Because chronic fatigue, if you don't address it, leads to fibromyalgia. See. So where the chronic fatigue started was imbalance in gut floras, and you get too much yeast, and what happens is it blocks your ability to digest protein and convert it to amino acids, which is fuel for your cells. So you feel tired. And if you don't correct that, what happens is there's not enough nutrition, oxygen-rich blood going to your nerve endings and your muscles, and they start to hurt. And they call it soft tissue fibromyalgia. Well, it's just stemming from the gut being out of balance, so you can't get the nutrition in. And there's this, you know, domino effect. So you got to get those floras back in, and just taking probiotics is probably not going to be enough. You got to quit feeding the yeast, and what feeds the yeast is sugar or anything that converts to sugar. So you get off the sugar, you get off the bread. You get off milk too, because it coats the system with mucus, and that just doesn't help either. So it's brown rice, not white rice, because brown rice, you know, not a simple carb. And vegetables, either raw or steamed or stir fried, and that's what you have. And eat that, just that, until your energy comes back. Because what you're doing is you're starving the yeast, and you're encouraging other floras to come back. And I like to fast track those floras coming back by eating pickled things, fermented things like, sauerkraut, kimchi, pickled beets, that kind of thing. But once that energy starts coming back, you know the floras are back. And once you get that all corrected, then the fibromyalgia goes away as well. So it could take weeks or it could take a month or two. But, hey, if you're proactive, you have that power. Get off the drugs, get off the injections, get off the pain cycle. That's what I say. If you have any questions, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, 828-469-5972. That's 828-469-5972. Visit them at thepowerherbs.com. Get a free product catalog and be empowered. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.